It's time for our Bible reading, and our Bible reading this morning is taken from Psalm 91. So if you're here in church and you'd like to get your Bibles out or your phones, likewise online, if you'd like to grab your Bible, we are in Psalm 91. Words are also going to come on the screen. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at the emotionally healthy life because we want to be emotionally healthy people. And we are using the Psalms, we're looking at the Psalms in this series because the Psalms help us understand ourselves, help us to understand our hearts, and therefore they help us to understand how we can become more emotionally healthy. This morning we're looking at Psalm 91. This psalm is all about having peace when times are difficult. Now, life is difficult at the moment for all of us to some extent, and for some of you, life is particularly tough and difficult. Now, when life is difficult, when there is a pandemic, when you have troubles and difficulties in your life, what is the default of our hearts? Well, the default of our hearts is to worry. And to be anxious and to be afraid. You know, when there's a disease that's rampant in the world, or when we get ill, or when a loved one gets ill and dies, or when money's tight, or the future's uncertain, we get anxious. We become afraid. Even though we know that worry will do us no good, we still worry. It's just the natural instinct of our hearts. And so we need Psalm 91. Because Psalm 91 is written to help us not worry, to not be afraid. You see, how in the middle of those difficulties, when times are tough, can our hearts find peace? How can your heart be at rest when the world is in turmoil? Well, the answer from Psalm 91 is this. You can have peace when times are difficult by knowing that God will keep you safe. You can have peace when times are difficult by knowing that God will keep you safe. That's the promise of this psalm. And there's three questions, therefore, I want to ask about that promise in order to understand it, in order to apply it to our lives. Why will God keep you safe? What does it mean that God will keep you safe? And how are you able to receive it? Why will God keep you safe? What does it mean that he will keep you safe? And how can you receive it? So first of all, why will God keep you safe? Verses 1 and 2, which begin the psalm, give us a wonderful picture about the safekeeping of God. And God is pictured in a number of ways in these verses. He's pictured as a shelter, protection from danger. He's called a shadow. You know, in hot climates, the sun can be particularly dangerous. He's a refuge. He's a place of security. And he's a fortress. He's a place of impregnable strength on which arrows and spears will make no dent. God will keep you safe. That's the picture we're given. And then we're told why he will keep you safe. First of all, he will keep you safe because he can keep you safe. He's called the Most High. That is, he's high above everybody and everything else. He's above every other god. He's above every world leader. There is no one like God. No one is higher than he is. And we're told that he is the Almighty. To be almighty simply means that you have all might, all power, all authority. He rules and reigns over everything, over the universe, over this world and everything in it. You see, there is a sovereign God at the center of the universe in whom refuge can be found. He will keep you safe because he can. But he will keep you safe because he wants to. He's called the Lord by the psalmist. That word Lord in capital letters is the covenant name of God. Now, covenant is a funny phrase. It's not one we use often. Use it in the marriage service. But really, what he means is that God has covenanted himself. He has promised to be in relationship with his people and promised certain things to them as a result. He's bound himself to his people. That's what it means to be the Lord. And the writer of the psalm, which may well have been Moses, says that he's not only the Lord, but he is my God. The psalmist is talking in the first person. This is about having a personal, individual relationship with God. God is not just God out there. He's not just the Lord of his people, but he's my Lord. He's my God. I have a relationship with him. He has bound himself to me. And that is true of you if you are trusting in Jesus Christ. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ and in his death on the cross for you, if you are a Christian, then God has bound himself to you. He's committed himself to you. He's your Lord. He's your God. And he wants to keep you safe. Now, to encourage our hearts further with regard to God's safekeeping, the psalm gives us a wonderful picture in verse 4. It's a picture of a mother hen. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. There are lots of pictures of God in the Bible. I've given you some already this morning. But one of the pictures of God, which is delightful and tender and intimate, is that God is pictured here as a mother hen. It's a feminine metaphor because most of the metaphors are masculine. Because God is our Father, and yet he's not like some harsh, distant fathers that we know of here in the world. He's tender. He's caring. He's like a mother hen who spreads her wings over her chicks, protecting them from heat, protecting them from cold, protecting them from rain, protecting them from predators, from the hawk and the falcon that will come down and try and snatch their little ones away. God is a God who protects, who cares, who loves, who is a refuge in times of trouble. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, then you have come under the refuge of his wings, and he will keep you safe. And so the second question we need to ask is this: what does that mean, that he will keep us safe? This is a wonderful promise of the safekeeping of God. But what does that protection involve? Psalm 91 is many people's favourite psalm. I can name a couple of people here at church who've said to me, this is their favourite psalm, or this is the psalm that they would like read at their funeral. And we can see why. It's a wonderful promise. But it's a promise that is often misunderstood, or could be easily misunderstood. And so to understand this psalm properly and what that promise means, we need to see two things from verses 3 to 13. Two things about God's safekeeping. And the first thing we need to see is this: the comprehensive nature of God's safekeeping. God's safekeeping is comprehensive. Look at the promises in verses 3 to 13. First of all, we're told in verse 3 that God will keep you safe from violence. From the snare of the fowler, God will deliver you. When people have it in for you, when people plot against you and scheme against you, he will keep you safe. It continues in verse 3 that he will keep you safe from disease, from the deadly pestilence, from COVID. Verse 5, he will keep you safe from night terrors, from the terrors of the night. That is stuff that just plagues your mind and prevents you from sleeping, or you wake up and you're in mental agony, afraid, worried. Or just plain afraid that someone's going to attack you or attack the house. He'll keep you safe from day terrors, we're told in verse 5, from the arrow that flies by day. I think the image of the arrow here is given because arrows back in the day were like bullets. They came quickly and you couldn't see them very well. Strike you down when you're not watching. He will keep you safe from those things, by day, by night. He will keep you safe by day and night. That's emphasized in verse 6. The pestilence that stalks in darkness, the destruction that wastes at noonday. These dangers are real dangers. Because we're told in verse 7 and 8 that thousands of people succumb to them. 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. These aren't imagined dangers. These are real life dangers that really destroy people. He will keep you safe, we're told, from all evil, verse 10. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. In fact, in verse 11, God will even send his unseen angelic host to protect you. And they'll protect you in such a way, verse 12, that you will not even stub your toe. And finally, we're told in verse 13 that God will make sure not only that God, he will protect you from all these things, but you will even be victorious over all your enemies, over the deadliest possible enemies, who are pictured as a lion and an adder, and a roaring lion, and a serpent, victorious over the most deadly enemy that there is. See, these verses tell us that from every danger, at all times, by all means, God will keep you safe and you will be victorious over your enemies. God's safekeeping is comprehensive. There's a second thing we need to see, and that is that God's safekeeping is surprising. We need to see the surprising nature of it. You see, we can read these verses and this wonderful promise and the comprehensive nature of God's safekeeping and say, okay, if this is what God is like and he's my God and this is the comprehensive nature of his safekeeping, then nothing bad will happen to me. Nothing evil is going to happen to me. But that would be a misreading of the psalm. And we know it's a misreading of the psalm because when you read through the rest of the Bible, you read about people like Job, whose life went belly up. You read about people like the apostles, all of whom died, except one, for their faith. And you can read about other people whose lives were tough and difficult. See, God isn't promising here that bad things won't happen to you. That would be a misreading of the psalm because the Bible everywhere says that bad things do happen to believers. Being a Christian doesn't inoculate you against COVID. Sometimes God prevents bad things from happening to you, but sometimes he doesn't. This is really important, I think, because there is a teaching in the Christian, within the Christian church, which says that if you're a Christian, if you're somebody of faith, then you're not going to get ill. You'll live a healthy life. You're going to be prosperous. Prosperous in business, prosperous in family. If you've got enough faith, then life is going to go well for you. And if you do get sick, well, you'll be healed. And if you're not, it's because you're not trusting God. You don't have enough faith. There is that teaching that goes around the church. And I want to say that that teaching is a lie. In fact, more than that, I want to say that that teaching is a lie of Satan. And the reason I say that is because Satan told that lie to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11 of this psalm are the only verses quoted by Satan in the Bible. And he quotes them to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 during his temptation in the wilderness. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days before he begins his ministry, and the devil comes and tempts him at the end of that time three times. And the second temptation was this. The devil took him to the top of the temple, God's house in Jerusalem, told Jesus to cast himself off it if he's the Son of God, because Psalm 91 says, God's angels will protect you. They will lift you up. You won't even stub your toe. He was testing Jesus, tempting him to test God's love. Because Satan was saying this, if God really loves you, he won't let bad stuff happen to you. And Satan is misapplying this passage, and he's wanting to do so for this reason. Satan knows if he can get Jesus, or he can get you to think that bad things won't happen to you, then when bad things do happen to you, you'll be discouraged and despair in your faith. Because when bad things happen to you, you'll either beat yourself up and get angry with yourself and say, well, I'm such a poor Christian, that's why bad things are happening to me. Or you'll beat God up and get angry with him and say, He's such a bad God. That's why bad things are happening to me. He doesn't really love me. Or he can't really look after me. You see, to use these words of Psalm 91 and say bad things won't happen to us because we're Christians is a misreading of this passage. You see, when Psalm 91 says that God will keep you safe, it doesn't mean that God will prevent from bad things from happening to you. It means this. It means that God will keep you safe in trouble and lead you safely through trouble. God will keep you safe in trouble and he will lead you safely through trouble. What does that mean? What does it mean that God will keep you safe in trouble and lead you safely through trouble? Well, the first thing I think it means is this. That God will turn your troubles, God will turn the bad stuff that happens to you for your good. There are troubles in the world, and as we live in the world, we will experience those troubles. But God says, I will be with you in those troubles. He says that later on in the Psalm, verse 15. I will be with you in those troubles and keep you safe in those troubles and so work in those troubled and difficult times that I will turn them for good. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. See, bad stuff happens in the world because the world is full of sinful people. The reason bad stuff happens is because we sin and other people sin. God doesn't do bad stuff. But God uses the bad things that happen, the troubles and the difficulties, even the most terrible things that happen to you, God uses them and works them for your good. And one day we will see when we get to heaven that the bad things that have happened to us in this world, the things which we thought were awful, and they were awful. They feel awful. They do make us sad, do make us weep. They're not good in and of themselves. But from heaven, we will be able to see that those bad things, in the end, will lead to something more glorious and great than if they hadn't actually happened. From the standpoint, the viewpoint of eternity, we will be able to look at those bad things that have happened in our lives and see that something so great and glorious has happened as a result that wouldn't be the case if they hadn't have happened. One of the examples of this, maybe the most famous in the Old Testament, is the story of Joseph. If you're an Anglican, this is the lectionary reading for today. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. At the end of the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, you know the story of Joseph. His brothers didn't like him because he was his father's favorite. They threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery in Egypt. He spent years in prison. From the age of maybe 17 or 18 until the age of 30, he was in and out of prison, treated really badly. Then he becomes prime minister and saves not only his people and his family, but the world. Or should I say, God saves the world through him. And at the end of his life, he said this to his brothers. His father, Jacob, had just died, and his brothers were worried that because their father had died, they wouldn't be protected against Joseph, who was so powerful, and in fact, he would get revenge on them. And he says to them, he says, look, I'm not going to get revenge on you. You meant evil against me in what you did. But God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. See, God will turn the bad things that have happened to you for your good, just as he did for Joseph. But not only that, God will make sure that the good things that you have will not be taken away from you. You know, suffering in life, what is suffering? When we suffer, what happens? Well, suffering is the loss of something that we value, something that we perceive to be good. And many of those things are good. The loss of a loved one involves suffering, awful suffering, because we value them. And so when we suffer, we lose things. God doesn't prevent us losing those things. But God promises that when we suffer, we will only lose things that are expendable, valuable to us, but which aren't in and of themselves our life. Because God will make sure that our life, which is hidden with Christ in God, is preserved, is kept safe. We will be safe, you are safe, in the hands of God in times of trouble. In the middle of the storm, he won't let you drown. That is the promise of Psalm 91. That no matter what happens to you, what troubles, what difficulties, what bad things you experience, your life cannot be touched because it's hidden in God. And he will prevent anything and anyone from touching it. He will keep you safe through every storm and lead you to God's heavenly home. There's a wonderful hymn I came across this week, written in the 17th century, which just explains this so well. If God himself be for me, I may a horse defy. For when I pray before me, my foes confounded fly. If Christ, the head and master, befriend me from above, what foe or what disaster can drive me from his love? This is Romans chapter 8 again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No! In all these things, in the middle of all these things, when all these troubles are happening to us, in the middle of all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what God promises. God promises that God, he will keep you safe in trouble and he will lead you safely through trouble. And nothing will ultimately be allowed to harm you. And so finally, we need to ask, how are we able to receive this? How are we able to get it? This wonderful promise. In verses 14 to 16, at the end of the psalm, we have another speaker. In the first two verses, it was the psalmist speaking about himself. In verses 3 to 13, it was the psalmist speaking to us. And now at the end, it's God speaking. And in these verses, God gives us seven promises. I will deliver you. I will protect you. I will answer your prayers. I will be with you in trouble. I will be by your side. I will honor you. I will give you long life, that is, eternal life. And I will satisfy you with my salvation. You will enjoy my salvation. Now, those promises, God says, are for those, verse 14, who hold fast to him in love. And so we've got a big problem. And the problem is this. None of us hold fast to God in love 24/7. None of us have done that throughout the whole of our lives. And so none of us deserve to receive these wonderful promises of God. Nobody deserves to receive these promises of God except one person. And his name is Jesus Christ. You see, only Jesus Christ ever held fast to God in love, completely held fast to him in love throughout his life on earth. And so these promises are for him. But the amazing thing when you look at Jesus' life is this. These promises, though they were for Jesus, were not received by Jesus. Though Jesus deserved these promises from God, he didn't receive them in his life. In fact, he received exactly the opposite. God says, I will deliver you. But he didn't deliver Jesus. He gave him up to his enemies. I will protect you, God says. But he let Jesus be beaten and whipped and mocked. I will answer your prayers, God says. But he didn't answer Jesus' prayer. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, Lord, take this cup away from me. God didn't answer. Heaven was silent. God promises, I will be by your side in trouble. But he wasn't by Jesus' side when he was dying on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? God wasn't by his side. I will honor you, God promises. And yet Jesus died hanging naked in shame on the cross. I will give you long life, but his life was cut off at 33 years old. I will satisfy you with my salvation, God says, but he experienced the condemnation, the judgment, and the punishment of God. Jesus didn't receive these promises so that you and I can. Jesus received the opposite. He stood in your place when he died on that cross, when he wasn't protected by God, when he was abandoned by him. He received what you and I deserve so that we can receive what he deserves. He was punished by God in our place for our sins so that you and I can receive the protection and the safekeeping of God forever. See, if you know what Jesus Christ has done for you, if you know what he was willing to go through and lose the safekeeping of God for you, that will give you peace and patience in every difficulty and every trouble. You see, you don't need to doubt God's love. That's what happens in times of trouble. But you don't need to doubt God's love because he loved you so much, he sent his son to die for you. You don't need to doubt God's care because he knows what you're going through because Jesus Christ went through it himself. You don't need to doubt his protection and his provision. Because you know that these light, momentary troubles and sufferings are working in you a weight of glory beyond all comprehension and understanding. God will be with you in trouble, and he will see you through trouble, and he will bring you home. So that not even a pandemic, which he's claiming the lives of thousands, will be able to touch your security in God. See, if you know this, if you know what Jesus Christ has done for you, that will give you confidence to walk through troubles. It will give you comfort in the middle of troubles. You can walk through the storm with your head held high, secure in the knowledge of his love and protection. You'll be like that little chick, having taken refuge under the shadow of God's wings. You will know that you're safe and nothing can ultimately harm you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we are safe in your shadow, beneath your hands, beneath your side. We take refuge and we know ourselves protected, cared for, loved, safe. Lord, we pray that you'd impress that upon our hearts this morning, that we wouldn't worry and fear and be anxious in difficulties during this pandemic and during the particular difficulties that we all face, but that we'd have confidence, we'd have comfort, we'd be encouraged by the knowledge of your safekeeping. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.